I've come to understand something which is constant, that the devil understands the flesh because it evolved. It is his nature. The nature that we assumed on the account of the fall. The spirit became dead. The soul became self or self-conscious. And the body became flesh, ruled by desires that are not compatible with spirit life. So, the flesh, mode of is the nature of Satan, is satanic life in expression. So a man that operates regularly in the flesh, his most natural state of existence is figured and factored in the flesh. Such a personality can still be a tool in the hand of the devil. In the evil day. With tongues, it will still be relevant to the devil. Because the devil knows that when he comes, he will find him in a state leaning to falling articles for the sustenance of his life. And such a man is a man that can be manipulated by the devil to become an instrument that will fulfill his plan. In a day like this, when God needs warriors, people that will stand with him, that cannot be bought, their soul is locked in love and in passionate love with their God in this time, then there are a few issues that we need to look into that are relevant for us to deal with if all of us will make it to the land of promise. Hallelujah. No, time is a revealer. In the process of time, you will notice some things will manifest such as you did not know existed. There was no cause for Jesus to be crucified, no cause for him to be condemned. There was no law in the Roman Constitution that captured the kind of judgment that they sought for Jesus, even though it was not so. They pressed the position of the condemnation on Jesus Christ to a point that even the judge himself felt at risk. So it was not the judge that determined what happened. It was the will of these people. Meanwhile, these are religious people. And the Bible says they did not understand the reading of the Sabbath, of the prophets every Sabbath day. It was because of their lack of understanding of the words of the prophets. It was because that they did not have any practical working knowledge of God, that they by themselves used their hands to do the most fatal damage, to put themselves in the most dangerous place, by administering judgment to a man that was righteous. And because judgment was perverted, that condemnation saved. And Satan, being a wicked devil, when Jesus died, he came into the region of Hades, the place of departed spirits. He was accommodated. Hallelujah. In paradise. He was accommodated in Gehenna, which is a place of the unrighteous dead. Why did Satan accommodate Jesus there? Because he was beclouded by his wickedness, not knowing that it was the wisdom of God that was at work. By accommodating Jesus in Gehenna, by the wisdom of God, God was sending his son to hell to suffer the death that we were supposed to suffer. Because in the fullness of time, how did Jesus rise from the dead? You must understand, there is nothing that happens in the realm of the spirit that doesn't have a legal premise that supports it. So just like we can pervert justice in the natural, just like they perverted it to kill Jesus, You cannot pervert justice in the supernatural, because that is the pillar that holds that realm in place. Whereas we may not understand the implication and the power behind authority and submission in the natural, all right? But in the supernatural, you cannot do anything without seeing those pillars, because those are the very substances that holds that realm together. Whereas things like ranking, stature, it's not something that is so obvious in the natural realm, because the natural realm has other parameters that it subscribes to. When you come into the realm of the spirit, those are issues that can never be overemphasized, because the realm is structured that way. Are you still with me? Okay, maybe I need to open a few scriptures to show us where we are going. If I still remember, my Bible knowledge is still correct. But let me check. Don't come yet. Let me check. It's been a long time. All right. Amen. It was David that said it, that only that the wicked will be turned to hell. The wicked. That's so when you a man dies, his will can no longer control himself. The law of flotation sets in, but this flotation is not natural flotation. His will is no longer in control. That's when you see how limited your will is. You are going to glide by the will of a power, something sovereign, something stronger than your will, than your knowledge, than your strength. Then, because God is just, there must be a chronicle about you. And only them that are confirmed wicked are turned into hell. And God's perspective of wickedness is a bit different from what our normal human law captures. Are you still with me? His perspective of wickedness goes deeper than actions. It probes into our very nature. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that the wicked shall be turned into hell. Now, so why was Jesus admitted into hell? Have you ever thought about that? Because he did no wrong. There was no guile in him. Satan was not supposed to admit Jesus into hell. The law was perverted. That was why he even died in the first place. Because there was no premise captured by the law that covered the terms of his execution. When he came to the underworld, Satan, again, because of his appetite to deal with him on the account of the humiliation that he has done to Satan, Satan decided to pervert the law again in eternity, in the underworld, and admitted him into Gehenna. And when he was admitted, he didn't fight. He entered. But the wisdom of God was at work. The wisdom of God was at work. And a few things happened when he was admitted into Gehenna. We can find those things that happened in 1 Peter. Are you still with me? Let's try to look for those scriptures. I guess it's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 6 or 6 verse 4. Okay. Are you with me? 1 Peter 4, 6. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. That was when that scripture was fulfilled. The law was perverted in the natural. And in the underworld, the law was perverted also. Jesus was admitted into the place of departed spirits. And that was where he preached the gospel. Hallelujah. He preached the gospel there. There were people in Hades that were waiting, that had died hoping that righteousness will be theirs. Because in the Old Testament there was a hope. A hope of a restorer that will come. And them that died with that hope still had that hope even in death. Just as we, our own is better. If we die with faith, we die with the substance of that redemption. And if you die with this faith, in death you still have that faith. And it's by the power of that faith that you will rise from the dead. When him that is called the resurrection and the life is revealed by the voice of the last trump. So he went to, he was admitted. The law was perverted, even there. But that perversion created room for God to do something that was not done in a long time. The gospel, the testimony of God, was preached unto them that hoped under the rule of the devil. It was on the strength of this that when the balances of justice, judgment, and equity in heaven revealed that Jesus has paid the price for the rebellion of man in full measure, something happened. Because the Bible says that it's the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead. The Holy Ghost left heaven and went into the belly of hell. Because at that point in time, the law that was presented for such a deliverance to take place was that Jesus Christ had no guile. He himself was innocent. And so hell could not hold him. But you see, one thing in the spirit realm is, if something has happened in the realm, then it can happen again. If it has never happened, then it's not possible. A man has visited the underworld, which was the place where Satan was the chief captor. Nobody ever goes there and comes out. Now, the law was perverted, and God, who is the king of judgment, justice, and equity, has proclaimed from heaven, this man is innocent. It's on the strength of that the Holy Ghost came from heaven to correct that law that was being used in perversion. That was how Jesus was raised from the dead. And because Jesus was raised from the dead, it's now possible for people to be raised from the dead. Now, what I want to show you is, there are two things I'm trying to show you. You realize that when he was raised from the dead, he rose with those people that believed him in the prison. The Bible says that they saw them. People that had died before in Israel. They were in Hades with hope that their redemption will come to them. I need to tell us a few things. Hope is a powerful force. It can transcend time. Faith is a powerful force. In fact, hope deals with things that are not seen. I hope you know. It travels beyond time. Hope doesn't end with time. Faith deals with things that are not seen. These are the articles that we travel with when time and space is over for us. What did you believe will be the basis of your redemption and salvation? Whether you were wicked or righteous. Those are natures. Wickedness is a nature. Righteousness is a nature. So their hope was not deferred. You know, the Bible says hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Their hope that they had in hell was not deferred. And the reason why Jesus could preach to them was because he was admitted there. The law was perverted. One that was not wicked was turned into hell. And that is the basis of resurrection from the dead today. Hallelujah. When we see Jesus in the book of Revelation chapter 1, he had a few articles in his hand. One of which was a key of what? Of death. Another one was what? The key of what? Of hell. He had conquered. And those that believe in him will not be trapped in death or in hell. This victory was won because justice was perverted. So every time justice is perverted, there is a victory to be won behind it. Nevertheless, it is needful for us to understand that the reason why God speaks 1,000 years before an event takes place is so that we know that it's all powerful. After saying it, he will say, okay, go and do anything you want to do to make this word not to come to pass. But it will still come to pass. And so when we, followers of God, do not have the knowledge of that God that can speak from afar off and his counsel will still come to pass. When we, the followers of God, do not understand when God seizes the vocal cords of a human being and he begins to proclaim the purposes and the counsel and the wisdom of God, and we ignore that, it is possible that we will become tools that the devil can borrow in fulfilling the very words that we have heard uttered against us. Let's go on in our reading. Still in Acts 13. The devil never wins. The reason why he can give people quick victories is because he perverts the law. But at every point that the law was perverted, the righteousness of God will reclaim those grounds in time. It is because of this that the Bible says that we should not be overcome with evil, but we should overcome evil with good. Because evil draws its power from perverting the law. And so it can bring about a swift impact, a swift manifestation. But that ground that evil has covered is not permanent. It's temporary. Because the measures and the lines are going to be drawn. And all falling grounds to iniquity will be recovered. And that's why the righteous man needs to be like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. So that when injustice is playing out, he knows that righteousness doesn't have the stature to maintain his ground. Because by the power of God and his sovereignty, the measures of heaven and the witness of God upon the face of the earth will become the basis upon which the lines will be drawn. And all lines that are falling to wickedness shall be recovered. The same Jesus that perverted the law to kill him, there was no provision of the law that guaranteed that he should be killed. In Hades, Satan perverted the order to admit him. But that became our victory today. It was the manifestation of the wisdom of God. And that's what the Bible says, and the princes known. If by any means they knew the letters, the sovereignty, the depth of God, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Because they have created a reality now that did not exist before. And now, all men from all nations who have faith in the Son of God, it is logically calculated and attributed unto them that illegal price he paid belongs to them. That suffering, it was their suffering. And the reason why his one act of suffering can apply to millions of people is because of the quality of his blood. His blood was not human blood, because if it were human blood, maybe you should have had the ability to save one person. And that's why in witchcraft there can substitution is possible. Somebody wants to die, they now take somebody else and substitute. One person can be saved by that because it's human blood. The capacity can be one in exchange for one. But when Jesus went there, it was not human blood he had. It was divine blood, divine currency. It was the blood of God that was in his veins. And that blood has capacity on end. And that's why the Bible makes mention of the blood of Jesus Christ, his son. He had to isolate that blood. That's not the kind of blood you know. That's the blood that went there. And on the strength of that blood, as many men that can look upon what he did, can have the liberty that his actions and his sufferings produce. Every injustice will be corrected. But the point is this: will you join league with the devil to facilitate the empire of darkness because you don't know God and because you have not understood the voices of the prophets? That's the question. In order for us not to fulfill such a destiny, there are a few things we need to check. The scripture where you read, it's in the book of Isaiah chapter 55, when the Bible spoke about the sure mercies of David. There's an equivalent to that scripture in the book of Acts chapter 13. That's where I've been trying to go since. Verse 30 says, "But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he has raised up Jesus again, as it is written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." Verse 34, he now jumps to Isaiah. "And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give thee the sure mercies of David." Now, the difference between this one and the one in Isaiah is what I want to draw. Because if you don't have the sure mercies of David as spoken here in this scripture, it is possible that you can still fulfill negative prophecy. Have you read your Bible, which says it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by the Spirit of the living God? There was a covenant that God made with David because he knew the nature of man, that man was very unreliable. That's why he gave us the Spirit, because the Spirit was supposed to help us with our unreliable nature. For the Bible says that the Spirit of God helpeth our infirmities. Hallelujah. We were made that way. So God knows our frame, that we are unreliable. So the best of us doesn't have what it takes to reach the finish line. And that's why mercy is a factor, something so important. But under the old covenant, mercy was not something we could bank on, because God only showed mercy if he wanted to show mercy. You cannot fake God's mercy because it is a function of his own exclusive reserve. But what the sure mercies of David means is that God's mercy becomes a constant. We can bank on it. And so the covenant that he made was that, see, even if your sons sin, he said, I will chastise them. People will rise and chastise them. But my mercy, I will not take it from him. That means he will find his way back and repent. And at the end of the day, he will fulfill my destiny for his life. Man is unreliable. And if we do not have the mercy of God in the time of the harvest, we don't have the tool that is required for us to plow, to receive that which our ground has produced. There are different tools we use in different seasons. If you farm rice in harvest time, what do you need? A sickle. You will not come to the farm with a sickle when the plantation is being raised. It's only in harvest time that you find need for that. One of the things that we need for life is called the sure mercies of David. If not, no one has an assurance of a finished journey because of the wiles of darkness. But God says there's a covenant that I made with David. When your people sin, I will chastise them with the rod. I will chastise them with the rod of kings. I will do damage to them and cause their hearts to turn back. But my mercy, I will never, never, never withdraw from him. The mercy of God was withdrawn from Saul. He was a valiant, the giant of Israel. The Bible reveals that his head was taller than he was from every other man in Israel. Was up to his shoulder. He was the giant of Israel. And he bragged about his might until he met the giant of the land of Philistine, 9 cubits tall. And the giant of Israel became a dwarf. And he knew he did not stand a chance in the world of giants. The mercy of God was withdrawn from him, and the giant of Israel could not make it to the finish line. David was a more treacherous man. He got involved with so many strange things. But God has decided to show that man mercy. He will find his way home at the end of the story. Tell your neighbor, it's not by power. It's not by mind. By the Spirit of God. Mighty man of God, I don't want to mention his name. If you read God's Generals 1, you will see him. Great in the healing anointing. Towards the end of his life, he got addicted to drinking. In fact, many believe he died drunk. They cry in Acts chapter 13, verse 27, is that because they had not known God. Because they have not understood the voices of the prophets. They have fulfilled the utterances of the prophets in killing Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to know God. And I want to know and keep in mind the utterances that are coming, so that I will not be a tool that can be used by the devil to fight the very things I planted, to resist the very things we believed in. Because the last bus stop to perdition is that a man begins to fight the things he once believed. And that's where the mercy of God comes in. It's a sovereign power that drives the purposes of God. Sovereign power that decides, that reveals which direction God's favor has decided to rest. There's a difference between this scripture and its counterpart in the book of Isaiah. Now, you cannot see it with your eyes. We may need to go into Greek, because the word mercies there is different. If you have a lexicon, we can check it. Wait, Chief Don, oh yeah, come and check so that you will tell them whether it's true. Because I can't take it wrong. See, the word mercies in Greek means what? See this footnote. Mercies. See, GR means Greek. Holy or just things. So this scripture in the New Testament should read more accurately, the holy things of David. Holy or what? Just things. In to replace mercy. See, the holy things of David. In order for a man not to become a tool that can be borrowed by the devil, he must receive the holy things of David. Have you ever heard of a preacher started well? Preachers, we normally start well. But if you have not received holy things, there's no guarantee. Because at the end of the day, it is God himself that will have to keep us from falling. Not your determination, your strong will. Unto him that is able to do what? To keep us from falling. Because human will fail. But when the mercy of God is being withdrawn from a life, it means that he cannot reach the finished line. So we need to receive the holy things of David. Have you seen it? You have confirmed it. The holy things of David. So there were holy things that David had. And those things that he held in possession was what guaranteed that the message of God over his life was sure. Hallelujah. I said it here before that while we were on campus, we had a prayer group. We used to pray together. We love God. We love God. We love God. And so we wanted God. Beyond the normal routine we did, we needed God. And we began to gather to pray together. And while we began to pray together, we had a leader, great intercessor, great man of God. Last year, I went to Boko. Many, many years after we had finished school and left, I went for our meeting in Boko that Pastor Andona put up. We got there, met some old in my roommate that was an unbeliever. I saw him there. He was a believer. Wow! I had preached to that guy. I don't want to call his name. You will know him. You know him. Preached to that guy to no avail. He was already saved. And it was wonderful fellowshipping with him as a believer. But I also met our prayer leader. He was brought into the meeting led by the hand. I didn't understand what was happening. But he was blind. That mighty man of God, 15 years down the road, came into the hall blind. What went wrong? He didn't lose the ability to pray. It's not of him that will it. It's not of him that run it. It's of God that showed mercy. The real things that matter, the real powers that matter, the first in the number is called mercy. He was blind. That was the guy that trained us, taught us how to pray in the night till daybreak, outside, outdoor, when you are looking at the sky, praying. Fifteen years later, he was blind. Some of you did not notice him. I didn't want to make it a show so that most of you will not know what is happening. But my heart broke. And he's still a righteous man till today. The name of the parameter that we cannot control, that is relevant for our life, is called what? Mercy. There's a woman like that. She had three girls and one boy. She almost worshipped that boy. Everything the guy said, made available. If he wanted this, he made it available. Wanted that, he made it available. My uncle now married one of her daughters. So my, because my uncle saw that they cherished the boy so much, he wanted to score some quick points in the family. So he now took the guy, adopted him, began to train him. Those days, when they gave us 400 naira from Abuja to come to school here in Benue City Place, which will only take us to the end of the bridge, because it's 300 from Karu Park here. Then you have 100 to live on. That was where I looked at the bridge and I vowed that I will never cross this bridge again in search of money. While they gave us 400 to come down to Benue, they gave him 30,000 to go to Mina. 300 to come down to. I trekked from the edge of the bridge to school. Because if you start with Okada there, only Jesus is a good God. Only Jesus. One night they dropped me. I had to enter. Is it 9-11? So that that 300 we can. We came 12 midnight and there was armed robbery around. That guy had so much money, didn't know what to do with it. He became a member of Black Axe Court. And he pays. So they gave him a throne. So they were the ones that used to order killings, these heats and things like that. So when the other court group saw that these guys were prevailing, they went supernatural. They took the battle from the reach of gun and bulletproof and took it to another level, when it's a battle of spirits and life. Hallelujah. The guy was in lectures when his head started splitting and he shouted. Did not even have the privilege to reach the hospital before he died. His mother that used to pamper him instantly, the news of the death entered her spine and she began to paralyze. Now, why is this thing happening? You can always tell when there is no mercy. It's not your major prayer that has kept you, even though it is necessary. We need to keep praying it. But at the end of the day, it's not by power. It's not by might. A man that reaches the finish line is a man that God had decided not to withdraw his mercy from him. How can you explain a mighty preacher that his cripples, in his drunken state, he was still healing people? And he died with wine. How can you explain that? Mercy. We are going to ask for the mercy of God on our lives. It's a great power, that thing called mercy. Now, okay. The Ark of the Covenant was like this, all right? Inside the Ark, are you with me? The tablets of stone was inside. The pot of manna was inside. Aaron's rod that budded was inside. Are you with me? On top of the Ark, the image of cherubims, two of them, one like this. And then one like this. Are you with me? And then there is a center space there. It's called the mercy what? Seat. Follow me. What is inside? The tablet of stone. That is the law of God. Are you still here? This mercy seat is above what? The law. There are many people whose lives will be based on the law and the uncompromising verdict that comes thereby. But some other people's lives have gone beyond that technology. Where is it operating from? These people that operate from here, we finish. whether it is Hamathan, whether there are causes, whether there is iniquity. What? They saw mercies of David. Listen, we have many great fathers in this land. Many of them are our models in many things. Are you with me? Some of you know them personally. Some of us just watch some of them in TV those days. Hallelujah. There was something they carried. And that which they carried began to renovate the land. A stirring started. A stirring. And they had weight. But a point came. A point. And if we are going to change that pattern in our time, it's not more strength we need. We need what? Mercy. Because the race is not to the swift and the battle is not to the swift. They say, okay, most of them had marital problems. Not all. Some didn't have, they died. Not all. Not all. Some were as upright as they could be, but. And so we need to ask God for mercy. That His mercy will be our guiding light. That's the reason why people get to the finish line. When you hear of Kenneth Hagin, I think it was 90 years, full of the Holy Ghost, a global father. The legacy left behind stands as is a witness in the earth. Hallelujah. Only a few Africans were able to hand over the baton. And more few Nigerians. Like the founder of Redeem. He saw his end. Because every true man that comes to the end of his days in Christ, God will show you that the end has come. So that you can put your house in order and conduct handover formalities. Find out who will continue. Only a few got to that level. Because most times when that time comes, maybe somebody begins to warm his son up. And maybe it's not the will of God for his son to be there. You can be a pioneer of a ministry and your son may not be called. Hallelujah. And suddenly there's a diversion. And you know, if mercy is lifted, he goes down to here. And by that law, no man can truly survive. So that's the first point. The need for the mercy of God. I watched that woman die. That woman that her son died. From high blood pressure to paralysis. She began to use then the half of the body. Her organs began to fail. All was because of a sorrowful situation that she didn't have mercy about. But look around, there are many people that have lost people. They are still kicking, bubbling, strong. But her own was not so. The organs failed. Hallelujah. It's not of him that willeth, or of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. According to that scripture, the word translated mercy in Acts 13:34, as I've said here, can be interpreted holy or just things. Holy or just things. So one of the things that provokes the mercy of God is that people decide to adopt a holy disposition. When there is mixture, you separate yourself. and say, others can do it, but not me. Hallelujah. When there's corruption, you separate yourself. Others can do it, but not me. A man that takes the righteous side, a man that decides to comport himself in holiness, separate from the ways of this world, such a man will never lack the mercies of God. Two things we need to pray. We need to examine our ways quickly. We need to take an inventory of our lives. Are we beginning to like compromise some things? Some things that you have abandoned. Suddenly you are finding compatibility with it. What you are doing is that you are negotiating with your mercy. But the Bible says that they that observe lying vanities, they forsake their mercy. Those things are lies. They are vain. Righteous men must rise from this land again that will raise the standard of God. We must reach the finish line. That's the legacy that we must give our children. That it's possible to begin in the spirit and to end in the spirit. It's possible to begin with prayer and to end in prayer. As you are leaving this world, you are uttering some prayers. It is in that mode. And may his mercy be upon our children. May they be stronger, more courageous than we could ever imagine we could be. May the hand of the Lord advance them. And may they have courage to kill their giants in their time. The Bible says a seed shall save him. And it shall be reckoned for a generation. Where you are sitting, you want to begin to take inventory and pray quietly. And tell God how much you need his mercy. How much you need his mercy. Because by strength shall no man prevail. For the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the strong. Have you started liking something that you abandoned? And you are having the spirit of deception is making you think, well, does it really matter? That is the posture of a man negotiating with his mercy, observing lying vanities. Thinking that God will shut down his standard because of him. We are his offspring. Consume us with your mercy. Do not allow us to our own devices. For at our best we'll self-destruct. But preservation is in thee. For it is written that with thee there is mercy, and in thy sanctuary there is plenteous redemption. Let no one be lost when we arrive the finish line. Let all the mighty men be preserved, and their works in righteousness chronicled in the books eternal. That our days will not be wasted in the flesh and in vain things. But by like valiance will mount up with wings and wax strong in flight. That the anointing upon us will not be in vain, will not adorn the kingdom of darkness and promote the agenda of the devil. But God will look upon us and he will be pleased He will release the mark of his approval, saying, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Can we ask him, "I need a little help so that I'll move up to the mercy seat. I'm in need of that mercy. Put me on that seat. Look not upon my failures and my foes. Look not upon my faults and my limitations. But let your mercy make me the choicest vine in thy kingdom." Today is not about power, it's about your mercy. Your mercy new every morning like the streams of the Negev. Grant, O God, that even when we become hardened to your spirit, when our heart waxes rebellious against you, do not, Lord, take your mercy utterly from us. Create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Your journey will not be wasted. God will stand by your side, and when you are weakest, he will be strongest. With thee there is mercy. In thy sanctuary, plenteous redemption. Redeem and redeem again mortal men from destruction. We call upon you today that you might do us this great favor. Put us on the seat. Let the gaze of the cherubim look upon us steadfastly, that we be not lost in our navigation. Abalama se la monda la kema yamoba tele na inao shie la mama maso maraka mai la barabana ne shie la sore baba mana kose made la ine emina kanda shie masane na kanda la babole maskai la zena na Shie sinamante na moro sale baba ba na marate maskomena. Do not let me to my devising. The Bible says that Elijah, he went on a journey of his own devising. Nobody led him. He devised the journey. That was the end of his mighty prophetic ministry. Why not tell God, "Do not leave me to my own devising. For all men that devise by themselves self-destruct. But your mercy, let it perpetually rest upon me." How are the mighty falling? But the weapons of war perish. The story of how is that mercy was withdrawn. Sie kina mama masako mala. Sie sie kema na. Hie hio la mama mama. Amena babo na maske manabo. Oh, ye seba makonde la denana bokama malai la koma. She la bole moria kama. Siye he la babora de shabada tema. Mama koma de la mamo. For those of you that have children, invoke the mercy of God upon them, from the least to the greatest. It is not by power. You are not the one that kept them in the womb for 9 months. You are not the one that secures they are going out and they are coming in. The arrows that fly by day, the pestilence that walketh in darkness, has sought them many times, but it is by the mercy of God. He wants to hold you in his hands and walk with you until the day dawn and the day star rises in your heart. Why not allow his mercy reign in the corridors of your life? There is a guarantee that you will reach the finish line. Not of him that wins. We call upon you, O Father of all spirits, God of all flesh. We come to you. We are faint, we are feeble, men under your government, that the shadow of your wings might cover us in the midst of the storms of life. Guide us, protect us, lead us along until the day is done. Grant, O God, that we do not fall to the enemy, that darkness does not gain the mastery over our soul, but your candlelight, let it shine upon our head, and by his light, let us continually walk through darkness. I want you to think of how many times the devil attempted to kill you. Put so many things, arrows were shot, all kinds of things were done. God preserved you because you are still relevant to his economy. There is still something, a mystery that he wants to make to manifest through your life. And the devil cannot stop that. God, he speaks every day into your spirit so that he can quicken your mortal body to walk with him on a path that no fowl knoweth. Eyes of the vultures have not seen it. He wants to make a story out of your life that men will look upon and find courage to walk with him. Oh, we trust you, Lord. We will follow you, Lord.
Ekamandelo maena, somila kandelo semaranda mo. Shaye para kina tonena, saila mo kade, ila bala mo sega manda yena malabi yero. By your blood, you have washed us. By your blood, you have kept us. By your blood, you have called us your own. By your blood, you have washed us. By your blood, you have kept us. By your blood, you have called us your own. I will not be lost, because you are my guiding light. You shine within me. You shine through your words in me. You shine like a light that nothing can extinguish. We will walk in the brilliance of your light. We will navigate by the light that you have put in us, and we will not stumble. Oh, oh, nanamo. By your word, you have purged us. By your word, you have kept us. By your word, you sanctify us. Hosanna. By your word, you have kept us. By your word, sanctify us. By your word, purify us. Hosanna. Yes, I am Andole. Mama Laya Kola Masela Dele Lama Polena Ikana Mondeze Nabana Mondetai. By your blood, you have washed us. By your blood, you have kept us, sanctify us. By your holy, holy spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hosanna, hallelujah, 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 oh hallelujah, hallelujah, oh hosanna. The last person that died in your family by the hand of the devil is the last that will die by his hand. We cut off every embargo, every line that has been drawn, every name that was mentioned, every blood that was spilled will be the last. For the mercy of the Lord comes. He comes tonight. Oh, 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 oh. Our infirmities. For we know not how much we ought to pray and what we ought to say. He helped us in mutterings, in groanings that cannot be uttered. Why does God help man so? Because by yourself you will self-destruct. There is a God that comes to help the infirmity of man. We need your help, oh God. The best of us will fail. The best of us will be cut off by the vicious nature of our enemy. By your righteous right hand, we have been preserved all these years in the midst of foes, in the midst of enemies, in the midst of beasts that seeks to devour quickly. We submit to you. We submit to you. Make out of us that which you please.
A man
that never accepts his weakness can never see the strength of God. Paul said, when I am weak, in the same instance I am strong. It's an opportunity for me to apply for the help that comes by the Spirit of God. The Bible says that if the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwelleth within you, He shall quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. The race is not to the swift, the battle is not to the strong. It is of God that showeth mercy. In a moment of time, you want to embrace the mercy of God from the depth of your being. We embrace your mercy that we might be preserved. We embrace your mercy that we might be sustained. We embrace your mercy that we might reach the finish line. We embrace your mercy. We embrace your mercy. Obasamene kante hoseka. Maraskombe la sika mantagande holokombra. Make sure you lay hold of his mercy tonight. Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. We lay hold on your mercy. We lay hold on your mercy. Ranasika Barababoto Kombre Semina Tatelio Sabra Habatabarantela Sofreda Katabon Janeta Moraka braseka pote matika dese. Me preskanta babosa mankata hida. Bera kanteza. Bera kansomenantata. Kompreska parasen somande. Ingla braseka patala babokomo. Pass out of your hands and pass into his hands right now, right now, right now. Allow him to take the steering wheel from here, and he will ride by his mercy. Take you to a place of splendor. In that land you'll be a great nation. In that land he will make your name great and you will be a blessing. You don't know the way. You need to submit to his master will. He will navigate you by pathways of his spirit into that promised place wherein you will flourish and become mighty. Have mercy upon your people. Stretch your hands over us, O God, and preserve us by your loving kindness. Sandelo marante mama na na ne kosa mine. Oh, 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 oh. Mamela no se na kai la maracomena. Sina ponde la bramena sconde la macomena se na. The sovereign, the strong one, the mighty one of Jacob, is willing to ride your life into the destination he ordained for you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Sambole te kabana Musa, he mamore kabrena sombala mantengo manile. Sobre malatena capra masanda babodima. Step in now, O God. Step in. Step in into every situation. Step in into every circumstance. Step in by your mercy. Have mercy on us. Have mercy upon our families. Have mercy upon this land. Have mercy upon our leaders. Have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy. Have mercy. Kufasen harnela harabata. Oh Lord, we give you praise.
Monto sabera, sikle, sobra kamanda sole. Igoria mama shika danta brahada kale horombo skade. Ziba bonte, seka barato skima santa maboria. Maraski fasata pranta maboske matiga mama.
Leave us. His mercy will never be taken away from us. His message today. For the bow of the mighty shall fail him. The arrows of the strong shall be his ruin. For God will raise a beggar from the dunghill and cause him to sit among princes. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none besides him. Neither is there any rock like our God. Manta bore saki mama.
We give you praise, we give you glory. We give you glory. In Jesus' name. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew not him, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. We want to ask God finally today that he will deliver us from spiritual blindness. In the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 44 and 45, a surgery took place. The disciples of Jesus Christ lived in a time when prophecy came alive. The fulfillment of prophecy was taking place left, right, and center. But their understanding was darkened concerning the things that were happening. They did not know that they were living in the greatest day of their lives when prophecy came alive. And just before Jesus left and ascended into the heaven, In Luke chapter 24, verse 44 and 45, he said some. In 44, he said, "These are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. They were walking in darkness. A sorcery had to be conducted. Their understanding was darkened. The brightest, strongest, deepest prophecies came to pass in ways that men never expected. The great harbinger, the expected Messiah, was born in a manger. It takes much more than prophetical studies to be able to see the mystery of God at work in such settings. Their understanding was darkened. They could not see the sovereignty of God playing out through normal, natural circumstances and situations. It was a time that the prophets desired to look into. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says even angels sought to peep into it, but they were not given access. They lived in those times. But their understanding being darkened, they could not see the power of God in display, in His utter sovereignty and majesty, until Jesus walked to them. And the Bible says He opened their understanding. I don't know what He did. Did He lay hands on them? Did He speak to them? I don't know what He did. But there was a surgery that was conducted that day. And from that time, illumination came to them. Now the Bible speaks about Job. And Job told us his own testimony. It's as though Job backslided a little. Because he made reference to a time distant in his life, when the counsel of God was upon his tabernacle. When the candle of the Lord shined upon his head, and by the light of the candle he was able to walk through darkness. That's what happened to the apostles. Their candle of God was lit. Suddenly understanding was given. I don't know what Jesus did when the Bible says He opened their understanding. I don't know, but that which He did that day, He needs to do to me today. Because you can be so close to the will of God and never know it, because you are covered in darkness, you are veiled from reality. And in that, even the smartest man is in need of guidance. For the Bible says it's not given unto man to direct his steps. A light must illuminate your path. Jesus said, "There are 12 hours in a day, and he that walketh in the light of day shall never stumble." We study geography, they say there are 24 hours in a day, but Jesus said what? I don't know, but there are 12 hours in the day. "And he that walketh in the light of day shall never stumble." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Prophecy meant nothing. The will of God meant nothing. They could not see it manifesting. And the wisdom of God that was put in place to see to his fulfillment in his time. They could not see all of that. They could not see that it was by the majesty of God that the Son of God was put to death. It was not that anybody killed him. Because normally when you are crucified and you are put on the cross, sometimes it takes 3 days for the victim to die. Sometimes it takes 2 days, and if they wanted to hasten the death, they break their legs so that it affects their respiration. If they wanted to hasten the death, they gave them vinegar so that they can stop the production of ATP, the adenosine triphosphate, which is the body energy. And when adenosine triphosphate stops, then your body stops working, your heart fails. Jesus did not take the drink that they gave him on the cross. Are you with me? And notice that when the soldiers came to break his bones, he was already dead. Nobody killed him. It was not the cross that killed him. He died too early because he laid down his life by himself. But you see, in all these realities, they could not see that it was the sovereignty of God that was at work. He died before they came to hasten his death. Nobody dies on the cross that quickly. He refused vinegar when they gave him so that he will become numb. He will not feel the pain, and gradually ATP production will cease. He did not receive help. But when they came to break his bones, he was no longer there, because he was the one that laid down his life. But the apostles could not see the power of God at work. That it was something that the prophet spoke about. That his bones will never be broken. There were attempts to break it. But somehow, his bones, nothing was missing. Nothing was broken. It was the sovereignty of God at work. Even in the midst of a condition, a situation where people that were not people of God were in control, but they could not go beyond their boundary. Their eyes were darkened. That is what brings a prophet to a point where a donkey needs to speak, because his eyes are darkened. The signs show that God is beginning to withdraw his hand because of some indulgences, some affiliations, some things that are not consistent, some things that are not the will of God, that somebody is becoming indulged with. But his eyes are darkened. Even when the cock begins to crow, that's the last resort. When it will take the crow of a cock to bring redemption, to take the utterance of a donkey. He opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. I remember one time we were conducting deliverance. It was a crusade in ABU Zaria, then on the lawn tennis court. The power of God broke out massively. And there was this young man that used to like power of God. So he was laboring to labor. And the show he was making out of the whole deliverance grieved my spirit. It became a show. So when my spirit was grieved, I walked close to where he was conducting his public deliverance. And I commanded the spirit to leave. And the spirit left. At the end of the meeting, he now came to me and said, "What is it that every word I said, he had already said it before, but it didn't work?" The Lord needs to open our understanding. It's not your method that is wrong sometimes. It's your understanding that is darkened. The motive for the deliverance he was conducting was different from that which Jesus showed us. So the results too were different. The understanding was darkened. Can we pray today and ask God, that surgery you conducted, that surgery you performed, that led to the opening of the understanding of mortal men? Because when he did that, the man said, "Hey, Eli, so the things are connected." That's what happens when the gates are open. Your thoughts begin to ride under the power of the anointing. Understanding comes beyond what you were taught, beyond what you learned. It's a quickening of the Holy Ghost, bringing you to the point where you can reason with him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that he may know what is the hope of his calling. May we never walk in darkness. We want to ask God, that candle light, let it shine upon our head. There's so much darkness around. And Job said that when that candle shone upon his head, he was able to walk through darkness. Let the candle light shine. Hallelujah. Maybe I need to pick that scripture. We'll make it a prayer point before we close in the next 15 minutes. Turn to the book of Job quickly. Is it 28? Verse what? No, it's 29. Job 29. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, "Oh, that I were as in the months past." That means he had backslidden. He was making reference to a better yesterday. Those days, there was a man like that for 8 years of his preaching. 8 years, there was no new testimony. He always told them about when he went for youth service and somebody died in the compound and he raised the dead. And for 8 years, that testimony was irrelevant in the sermons. That's Job. Say, moreover, as he was in the months past, I've not quite like had such experiences in recent times. Something locked into the past. As in the days when God preserved me, I don't seem to feel his preservation now. It was something of the past. So he took us through memory lane to a time where the preservation of God was strong. To the months past when God was with him. What were the symptoms of those days? Verse 3. When his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. That's my prayer point for us this night. Let his candle shine upon your head. There's too much darkness in the land. Because of the overwhelming darkness, many people have learned how to walk in darkness without light. I remember my secondary school lights out were by 9 o'clock. We learned how to soak garri. You know where the garri is, where soaked sugar is. You know where all the biscuit is. We learned how to walk like nocturnals. You can operate without light. Hallelujah. Many years later, as a married man, there was light. I was in the room navigating in darkness. My wife just switched on there. What? I said, oh, it has entered. Navigating. I knew where everything was. I could find it. But Job had a candle in those days. And the candle shined upon his head. And by the light thereof, the Bible says he walked through darkness. Can we pray finally tonight? Let the candle upon my head shine. So that I will know when to stand, when to sit, when to walk away. When to run. I will know who God is sending into my life and who the enemy is sending into my life. I will know when to refrain from embracing, and I will know when to embrace indeed. When his candle shined upon my head and by his light I walked through darkness. Make that prayer unto the Lord tonight. He will sever you from paths that are not related to your destiny. Because you will hear a word behind you say, "This is the way. Walk in it." His light will shine upon your head. By his light, you will walk through darkness. You will never stumble. You have enough illumination. Many may stumble to the left hand side and to the right, but your going out and your coming in will be preserved. For the Lord himself will be your guiding light. Aborana Sanda Baborima. Maridos kente blakamanta babora entro mina saila tekare mokokori mama santa.
By his light you will walk through darkness. The voice of counsel will speak to you. Counsel will make you choose between alternatives and to appropriate the mind of God in many confusing assortments. By his light, I walk through darkness. Sometimes when men say there is no way, the light can reveal a secret path that no man has ever found. Shine your light upon our ways, oh God. We give you glory. We stumbled many times, but we don't want to stumble again. Cause us to set foot where we'll find security and establishment. Cause us to go out on a day where your grace is abundant. Cause us, oh God, to fraternize only with such as are part of our destiny, that we do not beat about the bush. Let the candlelight shine. Let the light shine with great intensity, that we walk not in darkness. Onda shada babori makanteni. Entose dadadada bakuria basekatana ta. Mantana babora kabreseketani mokonde zabala. We give you glory, we give you praise. We give you glory, we give you praise. Behold, behold, I make all things new. God wants to do new things, unprecedented things, fresh things, powerful things. And he will guide you by his hand. He will guide you with his eyes. And he will bring you into a wealthy place. By his light I walk through darkness. By his light I never stumble. By his light, I found salvation. So that when men say there's a casting down, you will say there is a lifting up. The Lord is your shelter and your pavilion. The name of the Lord is your strong tower. Let the candlelight shine. Amama sika baka baka. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Anywhere you are, you may rise up on your feet as we begin to round this service up. You shall not stumble in the way. In Jesus' name.
Who will stand, oh God, in our land?
That's our hope, our oath of office.
By the world on faith's battleground, lift the banner of Christ high, bringing victory to our King. Who will stand for God in our land? Who will stand for God in our land? Fight the war on faith's battleground. Lift the banner of Christ high, giving glory to our King. Who will stand for God in our land?
Say, I will stand.
I will stand for God in our land.
It's no longer popular.
Fight the war on faith. Battleground. Lift the banner of Christ high, giving glory to our King. I must stand for God in our land.
Sing it one more time. I will stand. Fight the war on faith's battleground. The banner of Christ high, giving glory to my King. I will stand. I will stand. Sing it one more time. I will stand.
I will stand for God in my land.
Fight the war on this battleground. Lift the banner of Christ high. Victory to my King. Sing it one more time. I will stand.
I will stand.
I will stand. Fight the war on faith's battleground. Lift the banner of Christ high. Let it come from the depth of your being. I will stand. I will stand. Fight the war. I will stand. I want you to hear what you are singing, whether there's faith in it. Sometimes the drums will cover it. Sing it one more time. I will stand. Fight the war on faith battleground. Lift the banner of Christ high. As we close, I'd like you to pray. When it is difficult to believe, when it is difficult to hope, that you will hope against hope, that you will not cast away your confidence. At a time where there's darkness in the tunnel and the pressure is intense, in your quiet corner, you will fulfill your vows. Standing for God in our land. Ask Him for grace in the privacy of your heart. God is determined to visit us this year. We make preparation for Him.